in the limelight.
Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi likes to practice what American generals call shock and awe. The last time Modi stunned the country was when he announced, on a few hours' notice, the demonetization of 96% in value of India's currency. The Indian economy is still dealing with consequences. On August 5th, Modi shocked India with another announcement that may turn out to be the political equivalent to the demonetization debacle. After 7 decades in which both the people of Jammu and Kashmir and the international community had been assured that the state would maintain its special status under the Indian constitution, the government unilaterally divided it. Stay with us for an interesting article which appeared on Asia Times website titled Narendra Modi's New Model India by Shashi Tharoor, former UN Under Secretary General and former Indian Minister of State for External Affairs and Minister of State for Human Source Development, is currently Chairman of the Parliamentary Standing Committee on External Affairs and a Member of Parliament for the Indian National Congress. Modi's administration has carved out a union territory in the high plateau and hills of Ladakh in the eastern half of the state and reduced the status of the remainder, still named Jammu and Kashmir, from that of a state to a union territory. A union territory is directly administered by the federal government, though it may have an elected legislature and cabinet with limited powers. Many in India worry that, as with demonetization, the short and medium-term damage caused by Modi's decision will greatly outweigh the theoretical long-term benefits. First and foremost is the breathtaking betrayal of Indian democracy. The government had changed the constitutional relationship of the people of Jammu and Kashmir to the Republic of India without consulting them or their elected representatives. The government claimed that the concurrence of the state of Jammu and Kashmir was obtained as the Indian constitution requires, but this was based on shameless legal legerdemain. Jammu and Kashmir is under direct federal rule. To state was translated to mean the government appointed by New Delhi. In effect, the government received its own consent to amend the constitution. Worse, the decision was submitted to parliament, where the ruling Bharatiya Janata Party's majority guaranteed its prompt passage without consulting the local political parties. The state's democratically elected political leaders were placed under arrest for preventive purposes. Educational institutions were closed, and communications, television networks, mobile phones, landmines, and internet were shut down. Even if the government can convince skeptics that it is adhering to the letter of the law, its decision betrays the spirit of Indian democracy. The damage is already becoming apparent. Tourism, the lifeline of Kashmir, has been devastated. Decades of effort by Indian governments to reverse foreign governments' warnings against travel to Kashmir by portraying the region as safe have been undone. The irony is that Modi, on a visit to Kashmir in 2017, had called on the youth of the state, where unemployment is well above the Indian average, to choose between tourism and terrorism. Tourism could have absorbed many of these unemployed youth, but now foreign governments are again issuing advisories. The shirakas or houseboats are out of business, and handicraft makers and carpet weavers, the great artisans of Kashmir, are broke. Indians are proud to say Kashmiris are our fellow citizens, but their living conditions today are appalling. Stores and gas stations are closed. Fuel and other essential supplies are beginning to run out. Nor communications are available, and people cannot even watch television unless they have a satellite link, which very few do. The vast majority of our Kashmiri fellow citizens are living in a near-total blackout. Worse, by locking up democratic leaders, the government is creating space for undemocratic forces. The government had claimed that it was winning the battle against terrorism, but now it has given a new lease on life on the terrorist. It has made the state's mainstream pro-India parties, whose leaders are locked up, irrelevant and powerless to stop extremists. It means more young Kashmiris than ever may join them and place more of India's soldiers in harm's way. When the US eventually withdraws from Afghanistan and the Taliban take power in Kabul, a large number of idle extremists will be ready to reinforce the decades-long effort to breed militants to terrorize India. Modi's government has given them an additional casus belli. The international consequences are both embarrassing and worrying. In one fell swoop, the government has not only cast aside 7 decades of assurances to the international community and the United Nations, but has also angered Pakistan, a hostile neighbor with its own claims upon Kashmir. Pakistan has already downgraded diplomatic relations with India, expelled the Indian High Commissioner, stopped all bilateral trade, predictably taken the issue to the UN and spoken to its foreign friends. While some governments have expressed understanding for India's action, it is too early to predict what might happen when the clampdown is eased or lifted. Internal disturbances, aided by externally supplied resources, fighters and weapons, will inevitably increase. The Modi government has also signaled to the world its abandonment of its previous emphasis on economic growth and foreign investment. Investors who were already trickling out of India don't like war zones. They may now flee in droves. Having initially won power by pledging to put development first, Modi then sought re-election by campaigning as the national security candidate and doubling down on BJP's traditional Hindu chauvinism. With his action in Kashmir, Modi is remaking India in BJP's image, a far cry from the land of Mahatma Gandhi and Jawaharlal Nehru, who had preached non-violence, religious coexistence, and acceptance of difference. Those of us who have long seen India's democratic diversity as its greatest strength are now confronted by a government that is determined to erase all signs of it and shows scant respect for the constitution. It is an ominous time for India's minorities and dissidents.